Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Justin.
Justin's upset.
Yeah, I'm mad.
He's very mad.
I'm mad.
Because they canceled Wheel of Time.
They canceled Wheel of Time.
Which, before you go on your rant, I got a disclaimer here. Whenever this episode comes out, this cancellation might have been weeks old news. But the topic of today's episode is kind of an ongoing current issue with Wheel of Time is the catalyst. So, like, it's not about Wheel of Time. It's just Justin's angry because of Wheel of Time. That's why we're talking about this issue, which is cancel culture in media, but not how you think. It has nothing to do with DEI or the lack thereof or fans getting angry or creators and vice versa. This is more of a corporate issue. It's about how all your favorite shows and movies are canceled unexpectedly. And, oh, I thought that was actually doing pretty well. Why didn't they give that a chance to grow? So our effective thesis statement today is the abundance of cancellations in pop culture today is based on the fundamentally different expectations consumers and corporations have for media compared to decades past. And the chief issue we're bringing up, the Wheel of Time issue, is they cancel a lot of shows before they find their footing, or just as they're getting their footing. So you're unleashed. Go.
Well, okay. So Wheel of Time found its footing. This is season 3 that they've canceled it on. The first season was pretty good. A lot of people watched it. Fans of the books weren't super hot on it. And, you know, the main character was a little bit of a jerk. And people didn't like that. I wasn't really a fan of that either. Then they kind of cleaned it up in the second season. Then they've hit the third season, and it's gone so far uphill that it's like, okay, this is getting really good now. It took its time. It gave you the slow climb, but it's finally there. It's uphill. And even the fans of the books are starting to agree. They're like, okay, yeah, they've pivoted very, very well. And, you know, this high budget show is doing really well. You buy into the world, you buy into all the stuff. This is based on a 15 book series, and they've adapted 3 books into 3 seasons. So they've potentially got 15 seasons of this show. And it's like, okay, if Amazon got to the end of this and had a 15 season series of this fantasy series, from start to finish, only on Amazon Prime. That's a big selling point.
I'd like to interject and just mention that if Amazon did it their way, this 15-season show would take 30 years, but...
Well, yeah, that is definitely a problem because it loses the momentum because they've been doing... You know, even when I saw, I'm like, oh, the new season of Wheel of Time is out. I'm like, well, I'm exhausted right now. I can't get back into it. It's been 2 years since... I don't even remember what's happening. Like, we had to look up a YouTube recap because I'm like, I just don't have the energy to get back into it because it's been so long that I don't remember any of the stuff that's going on. That spacing doesn't help.
One thing I will give modern TV, despite the ridiculously long times between seasons, it's made the previously on segments a brand new art form.
Yes.
Like, in the last 5 years, previously on segments have gotten beyond good at recapping the most relevant information between multiple year gaps of seasons, or even just episode by episode. I strongly appreciate whomever edits those. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Like, I love the way that now it's like, okay, if there's an odd tidbit that you need to know about the show from, like, the first season, it's like, previously on, and you're like, oh my god, that's from, like, the first season. What the? I guess that's going to be relevant, but it does it in a way that you don't get spoiled. You don't really know what's coming, but you have your context you needed.
But they pick, like, the one specific line in an 8-episode run that'll give you every information you need to know. I'm like, wow, yeah. Somebody picks perfectly.
Well, there's an episode in Wheel of Time where it's a flashback to a character we know who's much, much younger. It's not the same actress. She's going from, like, a middle-aged woman to a young girl. Yeah. And they're not explicitly telling you that. But how they implied to tell you that was because you know her son's name. Mm-hmm. And she's this girl with this boy, and she says his name. Well, it's a good thing in the previously on they went, yeah, his name is this. And you're like, oh yeah, gotcha. So they can still have their subtlety. Right. But don't need you to require all the knowledge to stay up there all the time. You don't have to be an expert.
That's true. Getting a bit tangential, so we're still on. We're upset these things get canceled very quickly. Or too quickly.
Wheel of Time Season 3 came out, like, it's been less than a month. It's been basically 3 weeks. And they're like, nope, it's canceled. And it's like, whoa, hang on. You're doing metrics based on 2 weeks? I thought the whole point of streaming was that we could watch stuff on our leisure and whenever we wanted. Like, I'm now not in the metric for having watched Wheel of Time Season 3 because they're not doing the metrics anymore. They've already done the metrics. They don't matter. But it took me a couple weeks to be like, okay, I'm ready to watch it now.
So they count you as a drop off.
Yeah, I'm not. Season. I don't count really.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's a lot of people, especially with a big series like this. There's a lot of characters going. It's not a casual watch.
Yeah,
and getting into, like, that's so I don't understand why companies like Amazon still want to base things on the metrics of your first 2 weeks. Like, it's like. It's like a premiere of a TV show on network television. But network television is scheduled, and everybody who's going to watch that first episode or in the run is going to watch it that day. Or if they're going to catch on, they're going to catch on. So you get your metrics, but streaming is not supposed to be like that.
See, it's funny because a lot of channels, especially... Like, Netflix kind of did the release everything at once model, but shows like Amazon still release weekly, right?
Some of them do. I don't know if they did with this one. I think they dropped the whole season.
Or they kind of grouped them. Some release weekly, some group all together. But the point is, even the ones that release weekly are kind of appointment viewing in a way, same as network TV used to be. But it's still operating on a platform where people are binge watching when they're behind. So even... if they wanted to count those metrics for the first few weeks, I think a more accurate measure is to see what it's like when the whole season is out, or even a couple weeks after that. When everything is complete, are people still watching? Are you starting to get trailing numbers now that word of mouth's come out, or people have finally caught up or are starting to watch? Because I'm definitely like that. Even shows I like, I don't often get to right away.
Yeah.
I do the ones that I'm planning to review on this show right away, but some of the ones I like, I don't get to for months.
Well, usually you got a show on the go. You want to finish another show before you dive into this. So when you're releasing things at random times during the year, you can't base your metrics like that. And that's your metric for, you know, if it's working. And this is the highest rated season everybody's in agreement. This season is fantastic. They're like, it's great. And then Amazon's like, nope, it's canceled. What?
Yeah, so just some other ones from between the two of us that we were talking about that have gotten canceled. Not just TV shows, mind you, but some movie franchises too. Mm-hmm. I want to throw into contention here. The Witcher just got canned. It was originally supposed to have a 7-season run, reportedly. They're finishing it by season 5. So they're
shortening. They're going to cut everything out.
Zack Snyder's DCEU, it was supposed to originally be a 5-movie plan, which got chopped down to Man of Steel, a botched theatrical cut of Dawn of Justice, and an even more botched theatrical cut of Justice League, which got kind of fixed later. But okay, so they like that one really got messed up from the original plan. I was enjoying the Frasier reboot on Paramount Plus for one, that which I lost access to Paramount Plus for a while, so I never got to see a lot of the second season, but I thought that was just finding its footing when that got canned.
And it got canned. Wow.
The Sandman just got canned.
No way. Really? Yep. I didn't even hear about that one.
That's because Neil Gaiman has all these allegations against him.
Oh,
and
no.
That.
Oh, no.
So they're doing season 2. They're doing season 2, but after that, Sandman's gone.
Oh, that's probably why they canceled Dead Boy Detectives too, because that's part of that. Well, if they're canning the main line, they're not going to keep the sideshow going.
That one, the reason is because of its creator, but they still...
That sucks. I didn't even hear about that.
I didn't care about this one personally, but the Halo show is another big example of also on Paramount Plus. It's okay, this is a pretty big IP-driven show they canned after 2 seasons. You were just telling me about Warrior Nun and Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
One film that's bothering me a lot is Horizon by Kevin Costner. It was originally supposed to be this 4-part epic Western saga that was like 3-hour films apiece.
That's right.
And they were originally going to do Horizon Chapter 1, and then number 2 was supposed to come out like a month or 2 later, and it still hasn't come out. Yeah, that movie came out over a year ago.
Probably dead.
It's probably dead. I mean, I think the second one's finished, so I hope they release the second one at least. But they're probably never going to do 3 and 4. And it very clearly ends on cliffhangers. It's a continuing series, so it's... Which is unfortunate, so that I think that's an unofficial cancellation, but... So these are just some examples of things that are canned when they're just finding their footing or just getting an audience. And that brings us to... Point 2, when these things get canceled, it kills our collective investment in ongoing stories. Why do you want to dedicate your time to something if you're not going to see a reward for that investment? I could watch an entire season of a TV show. I could devote 8 to 13 hours of my life onto this thing, grow to care about the characters, and then, oops, that's it. And in some cases, removed from the service and unavailable to access for all time afterwards.
Yeah, like Final Space. Final Space is just gone completely. It's eradicated. It's a tax write-off.
Yeah.
That made me upset. But even, like, it's hard to get into a season 1 now because you get this feeling that it's, like, taken away from you. And even things like, you know, you'd think it'd be reliable to base it. Oh, you know, there's a really big name actor in this. This should be reliable. Like Steve Carell.
That was Steve Space Carell, Force.
Space Force, right? And he carries that show extremely well. That show is so well done. The finale of the first season made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a comedy show. It's supposed to be a comedy show, but it's incredible. It's a great show. And then they canceled it after the second season. They announced it before the second season even came out. They were like, nope, it's done. And you're like, so what are we supposed to go on to know that a show is going to be reliable, that it's going to stick around?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Like, if you can't even base it on, like, there's nothing to base it on to be like, yeah, you know this is going to stick around.
Now, getting into the meat of this discussion, I want to go over the reasons I believe we've gotten here as a culture. And as I said above, it has a lot to do with expectations consumers and corporations have for their products. And I blame four things in particular. These are my four reasons why everything is getting canceled. I blame Peter Jackson. I blame Marvel movies. I blame streamers. And I blame creators for media. And I'm going to go over these four things.
Okay.
Some of them have a little more substance than others. Some are just a little bit petty. But first thing is blaming Peter Jackson. Now, I'm sure he didn't even necessarily originate this, but I know the Lord of the Rings movies that he did were very famous for the way they were greenlit. Previously to Lord of the Rings, a good chunk of movies basically were on a one-by-one basis. You got a movie, it did very well, and you got a sequel, awesome. That did very well, and you got another sequel, cool. A couple movies beforehand greenlit a couple sequels at a time. All right, sure. Back to the Future 1 did great, so we're going to greenlit 2 and 3 together. Star Wars Episode 4 did great. Okay, George Lucas makes Empire and Return of the Jedi off its back. That kind of stuff had happened before.
But the two that come after, the first one works solo, but the two that come after are paired up.
Yeah.
They're needed to have the one after.
That had happened before, but I do believe it was very much unheard of when Peter Jackson came in with his Lord of the Rings trilogy, which from the gate, he said, I can't do this unless you greenlight all three off the hop.
But yeah, the first one doesn't work without the rest.
I'm making all three of these back to back, and I need all three greenlit. So I think that's the first problem, is we as a culture trained ourselves as consumers and as corporations to say that we are green lighting these things far in advance. And that has made an expectation of longevity. It's not just like on TV or movies in the past. It used to just be, hey, this thing came out and we liked it, so we're going to give you more. Cool. Audiences liked it. It made enough money for creators and whatnot that they said, all right, we'll give you more. But ever since Peter Jackson, there's been this expectation of, oh, if we green light something, we have to green light it for a longer term. Audiences are expecting
long-term
investments, yeah. And investors are expecting good returns on investment for green lighting something, which they really hope can go longer term. There's really no trial runs anymore.
I think that's kind of the thing is before it's like, okay, a show gets renewed. Now it's a show gets canceled.
Yeah.
Because it's cut off. It's not that it's getting an extension and you're getting more each year. No, you're literally getting chopped in half in the middle of whatever's going on.
Definitely. Which, once again, it did that happened before. I think of like Firefly is a classic example of a show that, you know, Fox released that show out of order and it only got 14 episodes in a time where 22 to 24 episodes was the norm for a season of TV. That didn't even get a full season order at the time it came out. And they kind of gained a cult following later. But once again, the network really didn't have expectations on that. It happened to be a cult favorite later, but nobody was expecting this Firefly show to be good. Nobody, the network or fans didn't really clamor for multiple seasons right out the gate. It just so happened to get a following later. But anyway, so I blame Peter Jackson for setting the expectations that when things are greenlit, they got to be greenlit going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You're expecting more to come. Second thing I blame is Marvel and Kevin Feige for his slates of Marvel movies, entire phases at a time and years in advance. So we already have this expectation that long form stories can continue. And Kevin Feige set the standard that they're going to continue along a roadmap. You will know you're good for many years to come. This is what you can expect down the line. So it's not just, you're going to get more. You're going to get more, and here's a good idea of what you're getting now. And that's really come back to bite Marvel in the ass the last couple of years. And like, I think DC, I'll blame DC first, because before Zack Snyder's vision for the DCEU fell apart, I remember they tried to pull a Kevin Feige kind of slate where basically none of their movies came to pass. You remember when the Cyborg movie was announced? For example, that there were a lot of movies like that that just never happened. And then, like, or Man of Steel 2, I believe, was on a slate back then. And it never happened. And even Marvel is suffering from this of late, where one that I was just looking up when in my research was Armor Wars, where that was announced as a Disney Plus show.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Don Cheadle as Rhodey. Now, that didn't get canceled, but it has seemingly been put on indefinite delays, and now it's going to be a movie instead of a Disney Plus miniseries, or like Blade, that seems to have been in production hell forever, that was supposed to come out years ago. They were teasing it all the way back in Eternals.
We were supposed to have a new Avengers movie already.
What about the Young Avengers? Where like every single one of the Young Avengers they've introduced is at least in their 20s now.
They teased all those characters years ago. Never got to use them yet.
Yeah, so this is the problem of long-term planning, is you set up these expectations that reality can't deliver. It's like the classic Top Gun quote, you're cashing checks your body can't cash, you look it up. But, you're writing checks your body can't cash, that's what it was. But that's what Kevin Feige has set us up for. It's you have all these years worth of movies to look forward to, and then the plan might not pan out for various reasons. Think about their entire Phase 4 slate. They planned years in advance, we're going to do multiverse leading up to Kang Dynasty. And then Jonathan Majors' allegations came out and he gets a guilty verdict and oops, now we can't do anything with Kang, even though we spent years setting up Kang. So now we got to do a hard pivot into Avengers Doomsday after years of setting up a multiverse story. That's going nowhere now.
Is that it? Is multiverse just gonna...
I think so. I think they're keeping it to an extent. Like, Fantastic Four is technically in another universe.
They're just gonna use it to bring in the Fox universe, and that's it.
I think that's basically what they're gonna do, which is kind of what everyone feared they'd do right away when they announced multiverse. They're like, oh, it's just gonna be a way for cheap cameos and to avoid character deaths. And then you get, like, the Fox universe coming in and Robert Downey Jr. coming back as Doctor Doom. I'm like, okay, this is kind of what everyone was scared it was going to be when you announced multiverse. But you're doing that largely because what you were doing before wasn't working and you have to pivot hard to make it seem like it was leading to something. But, so yeah, there's a lot of cancellations along the way. I was even reading Armor Wars was going to be about something different than it was. Like, spoilers for Secret Invasion, if anybody cares, but I heard it was perhaps going to be following, this is kind of a vague thing really, but there were reports that after Secret Invasion kind of bombed, they retooled Rhodey's story in Armor Wars to be about something different, which I'm like, okay, fine. In Secret Invasion, apparently he's been a Skrull for a while. So, okay, maybe you were exploring trauma from that, but Secret Invasion bombed and nobody cared. So obviously, if you're going to be doing rewrites, you're probably just going to pretend like that never happened. So the long version of storytelling Marvel pioneered is basically setting up expectations that can't necessarily ever be delivered, even assuming nothing gets canceled. They just can't always pay it off. So that's setting up. That's a corporation setting up expectations for consumers and not being able to deliver. So the third thing I'm blaming is streamers for overestimating their market share in the overall entertainment landscape. It is a pretty new technology that effectively just started as a way to put DVD collections online Netflix was a pioneer in that regard. Okay, so basically, instead of DVD rental, we can have a shared library where you can access our library online. Cool. That's how it started. And then Netflix started spinning off a new original content, which nobody expected. They're like, fine, Netflix, the DVD rental service, like the Blockbuster or the internet, is making originals now. It's like if Blockbuster started making its own original movies. Like, fine, okay. And then they were actually good. And that sort of set this expectation of, oh, streamers with all this money can start making, not just renting other people's content out, but making their own. And then everybody got in the game. And during COVID, when everybody was stuck at home, streaming was basically the only option in town. And it was getting inundated with new originals all the time. Nobody could go to theaters. Nobody could do anything else. Streaming was it. And they put all these corporations put all their eggs in the streaming basket. And now that the entertainment landscape is broadened again, people can go out and talk to real people or go to theaters or YouTube or like TikTok wasn't even really a thing pre-COVID. Like when all these streaming services like Disney Plus were popping up, like I think it was around, but it wasn't popular yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's even more things than ever drawing everybody's attention. And these streaming shows, which never really did all that well to start, the people making these shows banked a lot more on themselves than they really should have at the time. They were very much taking advantage of the way the world was at a very specific moment in time. And streaming was never really supposed to get this big. It's kind of evened out now. It's more proportional to where it ought to be. And they're taking note. Everything is crashing. Their market share is very bad now. And now they're saying, ooh, okay, we got to strip back all the fat now. We got to start canning things left and right because we are hemorrhaging money like crazy. And sorry for all these years, we led consumers to think that these ongoing things we were making were going to be permanent and long-lasting and continuing. We did have every intention of giving you multiple seasons of stuff, but kind of going back to the Marvel argument, reality sometimes gets in the way, and the reality is they're losing money doing it, and they need to make some hard decisions.
Well, and that's the strange part to me is that if you take something like Wheel of Time and you think about it, you know, I was just looking it up. They're $350 million into this three-season show right now.
Yeah.
And if you don't finish that story, nobody is going to watch it. Nobody's going to watch it.
Yep.
It's simple as that. If these stories are set up that if they don't finish, you've wasted it. You've wasted all that time, all that money. It's down the drain. It's just gone. And it's just a strange way of doing business that it's like, okay, you don't have something that's out and finished. This is not you finish your movie, now you're raking in your cash from all your tickets and everything. No. You're still holding this thing up. You gotta finish it before you can finally set this down and go, ah, you know?
Yep.
But they're still holding on to this stuff. And it's like, okay, if you're just going to drop it, that's it. Like,
that's true. But that's also why the fourth reason I'm throwing out is I'm blaming creators for these problems. And it's not, I know it's not a popular position to be blaming artists for their own troubles. But I believe they should take at least some of the blame for this. Corporations are going to corporation. They're not making money. They're going to can stuff. We know that money is their worldview and art doesn't matter. And the artists know this too. So why do the artists insist on creating content which has cliffhangers into the next things without a guaranteed renewal. There are many, many things, and I do give some credit where credit is due, where corporations will renew TV shows or movie series for multiple years. Great. You're like Star Trek Strange New Worlds. When season two finished, they knew they were getting renewed for season three and season four. They know season three is safe. They can put a cliffhanger at the end of it. That's fine. And if season four ended up getting canceled down the line, well, that sucks. They were promised they got a season four, though. That's different. But a lot of these shows, contrary to the corporation's plans for green lighting, a lot of them really are on a year-by-year basis still. Even though they promised people it would last longer, that's on them. The artists should know they're on the line more than they think. And the fact that they keep putting in cliffhangers and setting up stuff for way down the line that is probably never going to get paid off, that's on them for not making individual movies and not making individual seasons of TV wrap up on their own terms. And it's not like a Firefly situation. If you're greenlit for a season of TV or you actually got a movie made, most of the time it'll be complete. You're not getting canned 3/4 of the way through a season of TV anymore. That's just not really how our TV landscape works nowadays. If you get a season of TV, you can finish it. So finish it. Don't let it drag out or basically require a season two for season one to still be rewatched. It's like you were saying with some other shows where you're like, well, the way season one ended, I can't even recommend it because It's when season two comes out, like season two is never going to come out, and you basically needed the continuation for the first one to have any meaning. So why I can't in good conscience recommend this anymore. And as a case study, I'm going to use Disney Plus for this one. I'm going to say two Star Wars shows head to head. I'm going to put Skeleton Crew versus The Acolyte back to back because The Acolyte spent its entire season basically setting up the season two I wanted to see to begin with.
Yes.
The Sith.
Everything was set up.
Yeah, the Sith Acolyte training. But we spent all of season one wasting time with Mei and Osha and everything going on with them and this mystery that nobody really cared about, only to end season two in a way that I was genuinely satisfied by the ending because it set up a season I preferred to see and I was looking forward to it. And then they canned it, which basically made the season one journey, which was already kind of painful enough to get through.
Useless. It's just,
why did I go through that whatsoever? Skeleton Crew, mind you, I liked the show better from the start. I enjoyed my time getting through it. And that show ended in a way that, yes, if they wanted to do more, they could do more. But this 8-episode season about these kids getting lost in space wrapped up on its own terms.
Yeah, it tells its own story.
Season one of Skeleton Crew, which hasn't been renewed or canceled as far as I'm aware, you can just watch that. And that's a good season of TV. And what's wrong with that? The Acolyte has basically made itself irrelevant to history, and Skeleton Crew is still a decent piece of art in its own right.
The Acolyte's so bad, I don't like, it's just a waste of space keeping it on the servers for people to even watch.
Yeah.
The show is no good, and it's never getting more, and that's it.
The payoff is never coming.
Yeah.
It was all set up for payoff that's never coming. Skeleton Crew, at the very least, paid off in its own, on its own terms. And you could do more. That's how it should be done. They left enough threads that you could do more. It's not like I'm not like chomping at the bit for those threads to be tied up because, okay, fine. You left some threads loose. That's fine. You should be teasing. Yeah.
But your main core thread for that season should be wrapped up.
Yeah. What happened in the days when TV had overarching plots that wrapped up within the season? Even ones that ended on cliffhangers usually wrapped up their season-long arc before the cliffhanger showed up. Which, if that get canceled, well, shoot, I'll never know how the cliffhanger resolved, but at least this season got an ending. Usually, that's how it used to be done. Nowadays, we don't even get that.
So, for your point for, I do kind of agree, but there's also, it comes down different when it's like an adaption, right?
Yep.
Like, Wheel of Time. There's 15 books. Amazon's like, yeah, we're going to adapt all of Wheel of Time. Can you really blame the creators when it's like, okay, Amazon just said we're going to do the whole thing. So at that point, you know, you're adapting from source material. You can't really, unless you're going to mess with stuff really badly and try to end the arcs. This was already a creative work that was done from beginning to end.
Now, so, I haven't read or watched Wheel of Time, but does season 3 or even the book it was based off of wrap up its own story?
No, I don't think so.
So these books are written continuously?
Pretty much. They do not. They feed right into the next one. It plays into, you know, here's, yeah, it, there's kind of an end, but it's more like here we've discovered what season 1 was actually about, and we're going to explore that in season 2. It's like, well, that's not really wrapping up the thread. Yes, the mystery was solved, but that mystery is the core plot, like, you know.
Yeah, well, that's another one I'm going to pin more on the corporations for starting a commitment that long that they realistically are not going to finish.
Yeah,
especially because they know that this is the way TV has been. Every high budget TV season show has basically, I don't know what that sentence was, but every high budget season of TV has effectively come out at minimum 2 years apart. That's basically just been the way it's been for a very long time. So why would Amazon even greenlight a show like this in the first place?
That means they're, what, 30 years? They're
That's what I said basically right up top. Holy. They knew going in, the way TV is made, at the budgets they're made on, they would need to keep this cast of characters on payroll for 30 years. That's older than the company is.
That's ridiculous. I never thought about it like that.
Why would you greenlight a series like that? And who in their right mind thought it was ever going to happen? Adequately. You could, even if you did a season a year, that's still a 15-year commitment that you have to keep a consistent level of quality for and assume it even gets done. Like, what if your, like, your main cast members could die in the meantime? You need to do some recastings in there. Like, you think you're going to keep this core cast of actors on the payroll for 15 years minimum, 30 years maximum? It was a foolhardy idea right from the onset, and I don't think any fan in their right mind should have expected them to see it all the way through. Unless you basically adapted like 3 books a season like The Witcher's gonna do next 2 years and
push through
and like holy. Truncated so much nobody's gonna be satisfied anyway. That's the only way they could have gotten it done.
Yeah.
So sometimes with these it's like going back to the Kevin Feige problem. You're promising 15 years minimum worth of content, and how the hell is it ever going to come out? Why is anyone expecting this to be a long-term commitment? It's just not feasible. It could be done. I would respect the hell out of them if anyone could actually do that. But it just never seemed, yeah, just based on the information you're giving me, it just doesn't seem likely. Right from the outset.
No, that does make sense. When you put it in that timeline,
it's
kind of hard to imagine it. But why? So why? But why would they start such a big endeavor then? Like, these companies, you know, they know going into it how long it's going to take.
Because it makes money. That's the honest answer. Is Wheel of Time is an IP that. The first couple of, like, even let's say a really long running series, right? If there's 15 books in this series, I don't know how many people have made it through the first, all 15, but everyone who's made it through those 15 has read the first 3. And a lot of people have probably gotten the 3 books in, 5 books in, 10 books in. The further you go, the more niche an audience you're playing to the entire time. If you can get a solid couple of seasons out of this show, you've already made your money. It doesn't matter. And you're making people upset if it gets canceled, sure. But you got their money already. So,
but did they?
You might lose money from them going forward because you lost some trust, but you got what you wanted out of them those first three seasons. You watched three seasons of it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
You had Prime. You watched their advertisements before the show.
There's a lot of advertisements.
You participated in the system. The corporation got what it wanted for those three seasons, and now it's deemed not profitable enough to continue. So in a cold, hard business sense,
they don't care about your time investment.
No. No. As long as you watched it all, you gave them what they wanted. And you watched enough that they greenlit two more seasons than they needed to.
You make me feel dirty and used. I've been used by Amazon. Oh, no.
We all have. That's the...
That's not nice.
That's the secret. But circling back to the very beginning, where I was saying it, in my estimation, is a fundamental difference between expectations of corporations and expectations of audience. I think one of the big things is that they are trying to draw people in a different way. It's like we were saying before with something like Firefly. Nobody was expecting a Firefly show. The most ringing endorsement of Firefly at the time was that it was another show made by Joss Whedon, who was already famous for Buffy. Like, oh, okay, Joss Whedon's doing a new show. Sure. Nobody cares about Firefly, but they care that Joss Whedon's making a new show. So, sure, maybe we'll give it a shot on that merit. But, like, that's the biggest hype behind it at the time. That's the only reason. But nowadays, your corporations are going IP first and expecting it to land just on name recognition alone. And that's the problem because it spills into other things. Like Netflix, for example, didn't really care about something like Stranger Things, I bet. Like, it was just another thing they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then it blew up. And
they got lucky.
Yeah, it got lucky. And ever since then, they put a lot of money into season one of shows. They greenlight a whole lot of things. But if it didn't become a Stranger Things level hit within the first couple weeks, it's gone.
It's canned. That's it. Yeah. It seems like that was like the metric. They're like, oh, if it's not Stranger Things, it's not making us money.
And that's a very Netflix specific problem because they didn't have any name recognizable IP to mm-hmm. base it off of. But when it comes to something like Disney Plus that has a lot of name recognizable IP, like Star Wars and Marvel, they are putting this stuff out to say, hey, it's Star Wars and Marvel. You guys should be watching this, right? You're going to watch it just because it's Star Wars and Marvel. And oh, I didn't realize, like, Skeleton Crew's a good show. Like, we all agree on that, but, like, we're probably going to can it because nobody watched it. Which, fine, fair, but even if it did decent numbers, they probably still would have canned it because it's not good enough for a Star Wars show. Same reason I'm shocked that, like, Ahsoka's getting a season 2. I'm like, wow, that was already kind of playing to a niche audience. I'm surprised you let that one run longer because it wasn't doing like Mandalorian size numbers, which is another one that you're like, you got lucky that that was your flagship show on a new streaming service, because if you released The Mandalorian even a couple years later, it would not have done as well.
Too late, yeah.
Mandalorian probably would have done as well as like Kenobi or The Book of Boba Fett if you released it a couple years later. But those are the numbers you're comparing everything. Like, that's what a Star Wars size show is supposed to be for metrics, because you released it at the right time. But that's the thing, right? And what other ones we were talking about before, like everything I was mentioning earlier, like the DC movies, The Witcher, The Sandman, Halo, Cowboy Bebop, you're releasing all these things with the expectation that, hey, fans have heard of this, so they're going to want to see it. And we're hopefully tentatively greenlighting this for a couple years because we know there's investment in it to see it for a couple of years. Like Avatar: The Last Airbender. That's another one I'm surprised Netflix has kept going for they greenlit all the way up to season three, which, okay.
And there's a reason they're like, we're making them back to back. We're going, like, the creators are like, we got to go before Netflix changes their mind or something stupid.
And the first season was fine. I think on the merits of it, just as its own show, it probably wouldn't get to three seasons. But on the merits of brand recognition, they greenlight three seasons because they know people are going to watch it. Other ones, I guess they have a little less faith in, which is still funny for me because, like, Marvel and Star Wars specifically, most of those shows don't get more than one season. Think about basically every Marvel Netflix show. Or every, well, Marvel Netflix too. They can those early. But Marvel Disney Plus shows, like something like Moon Knight. I actually enjoyed that.
It did well. It did extremely well.
Yeah, it did. It did well, and it ended on a cliffhanger, and we're probably never seeing that again. Or what was another one I just had in mind there? Hawkeye. I was just reading recently that they were planning on making a Hawkeye season two, and then they offered Jeremy Renner half his pay. Like, really? Yeah. Okay. Because they're cutting costs, evidently, and they don't care enough to keep the show going if they can't do it on the budget, on a more reasonable budget than they did the first one. But yeah, so the expectation of corporations is different than it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. Before, it was on both sides. It was, hey, we're making a thing. It might be okay. It might not be. We don't really care if you watch it. We're not expecting anything from it. And consumers say, I don't really care if I watch it. If I don't watch it, they'll cancel it. It probably deserved to get canceled, except the rare case where, like, a good show nobody watched. Back then, it was like, if nobody watched it, it probably wasn't that good. Consumers didn't care for random things, and corporations didn't really care. They were just trying things. Now the expectation is, hey, you've heard of this, so you're going to watch this, right? You're going to watch, oh, you didn't watch it? Okay, like, it did, like, people obviously watched it, but it didn't do the numbers we wanted, so we're canceling it. So then fans get upset because they had expectations going in. They had these multi-year plans and expectations. This is a 15-book series. I expect 15 years worth of content out of this show. And then they get canned after three. If the Wheel of Time was just a random thing Amazon was trying,
nobody would care.
Nobody would care. Like, oh, we got three decent seasons out of it. I wish it ran for 15. Nobody was expecting 15 years, but if that's what it did 15 years ago, then we, like, that's the expectation. But,
well, that's like, Netflix did do one series where it's like, okay, it was a limited series.
Yep.
And Altered Carbon, it was great. It was so successful that they were like, oh, well, you know, they wrapped up their story in one and left a little bit of wiggle room to make a second season.
Yeah.
Great. Excellent. And then they it was so successful. They're like, you know what? We are going to make a second season. And then the second season was terrible and nobody watched it. And we all pretend the second season didn't happen. But still, I like the ambition. They had a perfect first season and left wiggle room for the second and then got greenlit to do a second.
Yeah.
That's the way it realistically should be, but...
Yeah, and Altered Carbon wasn't a name anyone was excited for.
No.
And it does kind of speak to your point of, oh, this was a show no one had expectations for and it got canceled. But that's kind of the problem on the corporate side now, is they put out these name brand things, but they're also kind of expecting their long shot stuff to perform as well as name brand things now. They're kind of just expecting everything to perform now. They don't really allow for sleeper hits anymore. Because if it's like our expectations as a society have changed to, if it's not an out-the-gate success, it's a failure. Because we've shifted the focus to IP-driven content, even the no-name content looks bad for not being immediately a success, but we kind of conveniently forget the big name successes were only successes because people knew them to start. So it's just kind of this, it's just this really destructive loop of content of the good stuff can't get traction because it gets canned early. And it's canned early because name brand content is to everywhere right now, and name brand content is everywhere because we're trying to, like, we kind of just want sure things all around.
Well, and I think that's why I think the way they do anime is a good system, because every anime starts as a novel, or most of them start as either a novel or a manga. But most of them start as a novel, then when it's successful as a novel, it goes to a manga. And then from a manga, it goes to an anime.
Yeah.
So your top line, most expensive one to do has been track record. It's proved itself in two other mediums before you go to the really expensive medium.
It has a built-in audience already. And
it's also got the fallback that they're not trying to sell the anime. The anime is trying to sell the manga and the novels. That's where they make their profit. The anime is there to be like, yeah, you're not expecting a perfect adaption of what's come before. It's obviously a novel is going to be the most detailed. Then you've got the manga that goes up from there and it's a little bit less detailed. And then you've got the anime that's the lowest detailed, but the most accessible.
That also beats the Game of Thrones problem, where you start off with these years-long commitments for a series that's not even finished.
Yeah, like they do start stuff that's like ongoing, but usually they have
enough
quite a
backlog.
Few into the run that it's like, okay, they've already done enough novels to go back and now do a manga for it, and then you're at stage three by the time you get to the anime. There's a lot of books that have been done.
Yeah. So that's getting into some solutions for these problems. I think we as a culture need to shift our expectations back to having no expectations on both the corporate side, the artistic side, and the consumer side. We all just need to, like, chill out and stop expecting everything to be overnight successes. Let things breathe a little bit. And I think one way to do that, especially on the corporate side, to let the suits chill out a little bit. Stop pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into your shows. Like, The Acolyte is a 230? It's a $230 million flop. You spent $28 million an episode on an ongoing story that you never follow up.
And nobody's ever going to watch it again.
Yeah. It's just a complete waste of money. You know, besides the fact that it made jobs for people for a year.
That's fair.
That can't be discounted. A season of TV still made people work. But what you need to do is go back to, especially when you're thinking of long form storytelling. I know, like, Marvel movies probably have excessively balloon budgets from where they were 15 years ago in terms of long form storytelling. But, like, just trim the fat and go back to low budget shows with no expectations. And I didn't really watch, I watched like half of this, but I think one example is like Agatha All Along on Disney Plus, which is kind of a spiritual sequel season to WandaVision, which had a considerably higher budget. Agatha All Along looked considerably cheaper as a show, but it also never really caught a lot of flack for that because people kind of liked the stripped back, lower budget feel of it. It felt more sustainable in a way. It was more character driven. It felt more like TV of old with Marvel spices in there and like higher budget than, like, it was higher budget than network TV, but it felt pretty low budget for a Disney Plus show, which people found refreshing. Or another Disney Plus show, which I've only seen one episode of, mind you, but it's called Tracker. And, well, Justin and I call it generic white guy action guy show, but
that basically describes what it's about.
But this is going back to the network TV style, where I believe its second season had over 20 episodes in it. Its budgets are $12 to $15 million an episode, literally half The Acolyte's. It doesn't look like, it's not like a CGI extravaganza. It's a small cast doing episodic television, which in this day and age, an original show on Disney Plus going over 20 episodes a season blows my mind. how does that even happen in today's TV landscape? It's because you had a premise, you put a reasonable amount of money you were willing to lose into it. The creators said, all right, let's just try a network TV feel and show. Let's see how that goes. People like you and me with no expectations watched the pilot and were like, hey, you know, that's actually okay. I think we watched it after The Acolyte one time and it was like a palate cleanser.
It was great.
Because we're like, here's a $28 million piece of garbage we just watched and now we're seeing something that's like...
network television, practically.
Yeah, network television. And I'm like, oh, it's actually refreshing in its simplicity. And that's... that's what I enjoyed about a show like that. Because we as view, like, you watched a couple more than I did. But I still remember the show just because it felt different by being generic network television.
I can't tell you what the main character's name is, but
Tracker.
I don't know. That's all we're going to call him.
But that's the great irony of it, really. But yeah, basically, I don't think Disney Plus had crazy expectations for it, but they got two seasons out of it, and once again, over 20 episodes for season two. And so clearly, it's doing pretty well for them. And like, that's I don't think Disney Plus expected that. Like, there's more episodes of Tracker than there are of like three Star Wars shows combined. And it probably cost them a third as much of all those three shows combined. You know, so why are they doing so many Star Wars shows when they could be doing more Trackers? It just makes financial sense. And like, the audience has no expectations. So we go in there and we're like, oh, we kind of like the show. Let's see where it goes. And there's no promise of Tracker being renewed past season one, being renewed past season two. But people are watching it because it's just good old episodic television. We don't have any expectations beyond the next episode, let alone for the next season or the next 15 years Wheel of Time. 30 years, more like. And I think that's the way we solve this problem, is go back to lower budget, no expectation TV. I also think Apple TV seems to have found a good balance. I haven't watched any shows on Apple TV and myself. But they seem to have a good variety of content out there of different genres. Like, in this sort of mass market appeal, we've strayed a lot away from anything weird or potentially off-putting. Like, we don't really do comedies anymore because that's so subjective. We want mass appealing shows. So we do like superhero stuff, action shows, sure, like dramas. Sure, people can enjoy stuff like that. On the whole, mostly. But Apple TV has done more comedy shows and like relatively low stakes comedy shows too. And it, like, they seem to have some creative inspiration behind it and people seem to be enjoying those, and they don't seem to be things that need to last for years but are getting renewals.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they seem to have found a good footing that other brands like Netflix, Amazon, and Disney Plus are failing at and trying to fix themselves that way. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that. It's a fundamental problem. We didn't used to have expectations as consumers or as corporations about long-form storytelling, and then at a certain point we felt like we needed to promise and be promised ongoing things.
The corporations trained us to be this way, though. I blame the corporations. They trained us what to expect, so now they got to keep up on it, or they're gonna have to retrain us, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like, as I was stating with some of the last examples there, I think the retraining is starting very slowly, but we still have to get through the gluttony of content from the last 5 years that they made in less before reality set in. And that's kind, I see a big shift in entertainment in general in this last year. I see a I feel like everything I've seen feels a lot fresher this year. The stuff that has come out, like that, what didn't start its development cycle during COVID.
Independent. There was stuff that's not connected. There's not as many IPs and...
Yeah. Like, more artist-driven content, stuff that actually wraps up on its own terms, movies that aren't trying to set up entire franchises that are just decent in their own right, less remakes or reboots, and even if they are, they still are relatively self-contained, or TV shows that are like going back to a season-by-season model, wrapping up on their own terms. Lower budgets, lower expectations. I just feel entertainment in general feeling a bit more traditional this year than I've seen since pre-COVID.
And maybe it's maybe that is the shift then.
I think it's coming, but you have to get rid of your Wheel of Time commitments that you did when you were still high on the streaming boom. So
still hurts.
Understandable. But that's my take on the cancel culture that I can't think of a better name for.
It's a different type of cancel culture.
The different type, yeah.
It's the canceling shows type.
Yeah. And release Horizon Chapter 2. Just, I want it.
No, because there's two more after that, right?
I know, but I still want to see
them. How many year commitment?
Too many, but I want to see the second. I know they're not even going to do 3 and 4, but I want to see 2. At least.
But then you'll get 2, and then you'll want 3.
I know I want 3.
Four.
I know I want 3. I'm, yeah. You know, I'm going through all these rants and still... I'm still begging for more content at the end of the day, because I know it exists.
But we've been trained, see?
Yeah.
We've been trained to crave the content, and now they're taking it away from us.
At least give us the thing you finished.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you give it to us and then cancel it. It's another thing if I know it's getting canceled and I just want to see the last thing you did.
Where's the Batgirl movie? It was done.
It's in the can.
It's gone now. But it was done.
It was done. I think Coyote versus Acme may have been saved, though.
Ooh.
Tentatively. They saved the day the Earth blew up. So that was impressive. I don't know why these tax write-offs are so... They're trying to save money wherever they can.
It's the sketchiest thing ever. These tax write-offs don't make any sense. It's definitely cheating, but...
Yeah. All right, any more ranting? Ranting and
that's,
raving.
That's all I got. Apple TV, can you please acquire Wheel of Time from Prime? Thank you, I love you. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. That's an impassioned plea if ever I heard one.
Yeah. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, it will already have heard the news that Apple TV picked it up.
We can hope. So where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm.
And you can find me on Instagram at ThoughtPlane Media. And check out ThoughtPlane.ca for everything else we do. There's hundreds of posts in there for free. And you can donate a buck or two if you like our work and you're feeling generous. We hope to see you on the next close-up with Ryan and Joe. Till next time.
Take care.